Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was about 10 years old, I remember a big stir within some distant relatives of ours. They had a child baptized, and after that child was baptized, the officiant said this to the family and, I guess, to the congregation as well. Now, if this little mongrel had any sense, he would die and go to heaven. Harsh kind of words. I don't know exactly what possessed that person to say that, although sometimes when we look at the suffering in the world, we might think, well, it would just be easier if we would be baptized and go directly to heaven. But nevertheless, those are still cruel and unnerving words to say to parents who have a brand new child. But in our gospel lesson for today, we hear some words that are spoken to Joseph and Mary that might have been a little bit unnerving as well. They had taken Jesus to the temple to buy him back from God. The firstborn son in a family was always dedicated to God, and when they brought him for presentation, the family offered a sacrifice, in this case a couple of doves, and they bought that son back from God so that he could live with them, as opposed to the way that Hannah did her child Samuel. She gave him to God as soon as he was weaned, and he spent the rest of his life in the temple. So when they're there, Joseph and Mary come, and here's Simeon, an old man, we don't know exactly how old, and he says specifically to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul also. Some explanation might be helpful there. When he refers to falling and rising, he's talking about judgment of those haughty and mighty, and the rising would refer to the salvation of those people who are humble and meek. And a sign that will be spoken against foretells the opposition that Jesus faced when he began his ministry. And that sword through Mary's heart or through her soul would refer to that time when she saw Jesus on the cross. And certainly she saw other times when he was put down and rejected. So how do you suppose Mary, who was a teenager, maybe 14 or 15 years old at that time, what must she have thought? How much did she really know? She might have thought, gee, who is this old geezer who is frightening me like that? How can he know what the future holds for my baby and for me? How can an innocent child, not yet 2 months old, bring judgment and salvation on the world? And what is this sword thing that he keeps talking about? Or perhaps she knew. Maybe she knew that Jesus would be rejected by the established religious leaders of the time. Perhaps she knew that his hometown of Nazareth would rise up against him when he created or gave his first sermon. Perhaps she knew that someday he would be crucified. Did she know that he would die and rise again? Her baby is only 6 weeks old, but already the Holy Spirit is speaking about him through Simeon and foretelling his future. Foretelling of the anger and bitter controversy that would surround his teaching, the opposition that would be present at his message, and foretelling finally the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. But all of this suffering would certainly come. And in fact, if mankind were to be saved, it could not be avoided. And so in the process, Mary would have her share of suffering as well. She lived to see her oldest son gossiped about and put down and opposed by religious leaders. She saw him nearly stoned after his first sermon. And then she was there at the foot of the cross when he died. Did Mary understand why all this suffering would be necessary? She would certainly know shortly that Herod was going to try to kill her baby. And I bet she had to wonder why God would allow those things to happen. Perhaps she didn't realize the necessity of all of these things until Jesus actually rose from the grave. We don't know, but she indeed suffered. Today we wonder too, why is there so much suffering in the world? It exists in our lives. It exists in the lives of everybody that we know. We think of the chronic and severe headaches that Karen suffers from. We think of the disease from which Amanda is recovering. We think of the cancer for which Linda is being treated. And we think about the women who suffer at the loss of their spouses over the last couple of years. And you no doubt can list other examples of suffering in your family or perhaps even you yourself. Suffering for which we don't see any reason. There's a saying that goes like this. Everyone that you meet today is fighting a battle about which you know nothing. Suffering is just plain a part of life. And it's not unusual, it's not uncommon, it's reasonable for us to ask God, why? Why this suffering? At times like that, the only thing we can do is hold on to God, trusting that there is in fact a reason, and that he will ultimately do the work to bring all things to good for those people who love him. There was a post on Facebook earlier this week that I printed and cut out and taped to my desk. It's a watercolor painting of a tiny little bird resting on a twig. And above this orange-breasted little bird are these words. I may not always understand God's plan for me, but I'll always accept them because his decisions are better than mine. The only reason that we can say that is because of Jesus himself. He is that Savior who was born among us to carry our sufferings and to carry our pain. Isaiah tells us, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and by his wounds we are healed. By his suffering, Jesus paid for all of the sins of this world. By his death and resurrection, he gave us life, life eternal. The Bible warns us that as Christians, we will share in Christ's sufferings, just like Mary did, just like everyone else does. Jesus said, "A servant is not greater than his master." Jesus tells us that we too will experience rejection for his sake. In the course of God's service, we can expect times of difficulty and times of pain. There will be times when we just don't understand what God is doing. But though we don't understand him, we can still trust because he has the big picture. We can take the position that Mary took when the angel told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. She didn't understand, but she said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That means by trusting in Jesus and sharing in his sufferings, we also can have that hope of sharing in his resurrection, in sharing his all eternal joy. We can do that because, you see, Christ knows our pain. He took on human flesh to become a human in this world, and to be human is to know what pain is all about. And more than that, he took on our sin to be and bore our suffering on the cross. It was there that he cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did all that so that we can stand blameless before God on that day of judgment. He suffered so that our sins might be forgiven. Because of his death and resurrection, we find hope in the same place where Peter found hope. In 1 Peter or 1 John, we read, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, we have been baptized into Christ's suffering. And in that baptism, our sins were put to death. And in those baptismal waters, we were given a new life. In our baptism, we were joined to Christ's death so that we can be resurrected into his eternal life. There is no greater comfort than this, and it was brought on by Christ's suffering. And so, as followers of Christ, therefore, we know that in this world there will be suffering, but we also know that in Christ we have true peace, and we have everlasting and eternal peace. And so, when you are suffering or are in pain, do so in Christ, knowing that Jesus, who suffered for you, is with you and understands that suffering. When you are suffering and having difficulties, know that you are among a body of believers who love you and care for you. When difficulties arise, and surely they will, know that you are among the faithful who, like you, will be forgiven. You are Christ's child through baptism. And though this world might try to rip your heart out, though it might try to massacre every bit of emotion that you have within you, though it will eventually take your own life, it can never undo what Christ has done for you on that cross. It is upon that reality that we hang our hope now, and even and especially when we suffer. The Lord has had mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ. Amen.